If you're here this morning and you're alive and breathing, please raise your right hand. Now, for the rest of you, raise your right hand and hold it up, please. For the rest of you, I just wonder, are you a non-joiner or are you anarchist? If you're anarchist, you can raise your left hand. That's okay, too. Perhaps you didn't understand the question. Maybe you don't know that you're alive. So if you're alive and breathing this morning, I won't embarrass you. Please hold your right hand up. All ages. Okay. Reason why I want you to hold your right hand on it up is you're going to give me a pledge. A pledge that's not embarrassing. Some of you are going, oh, not this morning. I'll hold your right hand up and please repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to seek God's blessing for me today. Because I rather enjoy life and will listen, even though Ken reads 44 verses. I do so on the promise that Ken keeps his comments short so we can enjoy snack. Thank you for that pledge this morning. I wanted you to pledge that with me this morning because sometimes you have to raise your hand to say, yes, God, I receive your blessing. Right? And some days, I don't know if you're anything like me, I'm not tuned in or turned on to what God would have for me. And then God taps me on the shoulder through his Holy Spirit and says, you know, I got something for you. Every day, every moment. So, this morning, following up with our last 2 weeks, I'm going to read chapters 5 and 6 of Galatians. And we've called it Galatians Gentle Gentile Grace as our focus point. I'm just going to summarize this, and then I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. This isn't typically how we do things here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we typically look at things a little bit more topically, but this morning we're getting into a time in which we look at Scripture, and we look to see what God wants to bless us with. But because we're in chapters 5 and 6, if you have your Bibles with you on your phone or electronic device or in hand, you can turn to Galatians 5 and 6. But first I'm going to summarize chapters 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 very quickly. Number 1, God seeks you every day. He's looking for your loving response, not some kind of dutiful earning that if you're trying to earn his love and salvation. He just wants your response. Number 2, he will rescue you from evil through the power and blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Galatians 1 and 2 says. And number 3, he shows no favoritism. He loves his love extends to all people. In fact, all of his creation. Read Romans. Through us often. There's no favoritism. If you just came in this morning, you're a little nervous, you're not sure about how your week went, God loves you as much as the person who came in with a great feeling that God is with them. He loves us all equally. Here's a test for you. Breathe in and out and see if your breath in and out is any different than anybody beside you. God provides for you. He loves you. Our relationship status with God is loved in grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what chapters 1 and 2 says. Chapters 3 and 4 for us says this. God always planned to save you. You were in his mind before you were born. Before your family was established, he had his mind on you when Jesus died on the cross. He wanted to bless you. In fact, he wanted to bless all people, going right back to Abraham, as we've studied in the Bible study. We receive this blessing by faith. In fact, that reorients our lives. The evidence is his Spirit in us. You want to test to see whether your faith is real? Over time, the orientation of your life will change. Otherwise, you could have thin faith. Oh, I believe, I just won't test it. Oh, I believe, I just won't pray. Oh, I believe, I just am not part of a church. That's thin faith. We want robust, deep faith in which we are risk takers for God. Number three, while the law protects us each other, as I sped by Bruce this morning doing 70 kilometers an hour, I realized that the law is there to protect us. And I should have been doing 60. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He liberates us. Number four, humans still seek to influence and manipulate and coerce. Sometimes through your week, if you think about it, there was probably someone who wanted you to do their will. Buy this. Listen to me here. Help me out here. That's what we do as human beings. At best, we're in community with each other. At worst, we manipulate and coerce and influence. And guess what? It happens in church. Yes, it's always happened in church. Number five, our new birth, our new life is in the freedom of God's love. With that in mind, we're going to go into chapters 4, 5, and 6. This is the end of the letter. This letter was written to all the Galatian churches, which is in present-day Turkey, kind of the mid-area of Turkey. It was read to a number of churches over time, sometimes all at once. So this morning I'm going to read this, and your commitment, as you pledged earlier, is to listen to see what God has promised for you today. If I had the time, I would afterwards ask you all to share with me, and we'd have 100 different responses, because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. That's how much He loves us, is that we don't all get the same message. That's a wonderful thing. We can't be robots in Christ. We have to have the diversity of what God does for us. So, Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, he's talking about using the law to justify your value before God, using circumcision as just one part of that law. If you take the law and say, I'm good before the law because I keep this, or I'm good before God because I keep the law, then he says, I tell you, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Whoa. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousies, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. If we were trying to enumerate our sins, there would be many more. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Chapter 6. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks there's something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. I like that verse. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, or a woman reaps what she sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you in my own hand? Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised, to obey the law, to follow their standards. The only reason people do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, even through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, before I just pick out a few things, I want to just share it to those of you that are younger here this morning. What's he talking about in all these chapters? God loves you so much. His commitment to you was to send Jesus to pay the price so that you could be absolute friends with God. That changes you. It changes you because you want to do good. You desire to do good, but let's face it, it takes a while. And we don't always do good. So sometimes when we have standards that we try to live by, don't do this, don't do this, do this, we just get caught up in saying, I just can't do it. I can't live it out. God loves you, and God will give you the power and the energy and the ability to do what he wants. Is that okay? Let's take a look at some of the verses in here that in particular stand out to me. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. You don't have enough righteousness to pay the price. Neither do I. Neither does any human being. We don't have it. We haven't earned enough. We'll never live long enough to earn it because I take 2 steps forward someday and 3 steps backwards. If it's a journey, I'm taking a long time to get to God. I just can't do it. Where's our righteousness then? How can we be righteous before God? Through the Spirit. We eagerly await what Christ has already said has happened. We just wait his fulfillment. Let me go on. Chapter 5, verse 13. You're free. You've been set free by God. This communion we're going to celebrate, the blood that Jesus talked about paid the price for you to be free. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about my freedom, I think, woohoo! Next Sunday, I'm off. And then the Sunday after that. And then that's not true freedom. Because all of us know when we think about it that the world is like quicksand. And sometimes the things that we own can own us. And you in your mind, if you think of the top 3 things that are important to you, know that those things can also own you. That's the danger. That's them becoming gods and we worshiping them. We're called to be free. But don't use that freedom to indulge the flesh. What does it tell us to do? To serve each other in love. One commandment, he says, love one another. And the myriad of ways that we do that is beautiful. Down a little bit further, what is the kind of fulfillment? You know, the great test in Scripture is right here. You want to know how you're doing in Christ? Don't ask another person to tell you how righteous you are, because you're not. Don't ask other people to say how good you are, because it's in Christ that you're good. But over time, you should hear in your own life, and I want to hear in my own life, and others say, you know, you're more patient than you used to be. You're more loving than you were. At one point, I realized in my life that I had very little compassion, and it cut my heart. So I thought, how can I live for Christ and have no compassion for people? I started to pray, Lord, give me compassion, because I need it. The Spirit's work, what the Spirit is doing in you, is bringing about love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You can, like we did with our youth a couple years ago, look at that list and say, what are my top three challenges in this list? Am I not gentle with people? Do I not have self-control? Am I not very loving? And you can look at perhaps three things that others would also praise in you and say, hey, do you know, you're one of the most peaceful people I know. Patient people I know. That's why it's great to be connected in church together, because those encouragements are so valuable as we grow. There's no law on this thing. Think of it. A world with more of this, does anyone have a problem if we have more peace in our world? Would anyone like people to be less patient? These are things that we need from a human being point of view. Let's go on. If, it actually should say when, I think. When people around us are caught in sin, this is where the judging each other becomes interesting. Because Paul here says we should love each other and be willing to share love with each other and to restore each other out of sin. And it says there, you who live by the Spirit. Well, that's anyone who has chosen to have Christ lead their lives. It's not just our deacons who live by the Spirit. It's not just the members of our church. You are living by the Spirit as soon as you've said, Christ be my Lord and Savior. And the challenge for us is to watch others around us and say, how are you doing? Would you like to talk about this? Watch yourselves, you may be tempted. You know, all of temptations. Carry each other's burdens. And what do you do if you do that? Oh, you fulfill God's law. He's talking tongue-in-cheek, because there is no law, you're free. But if you want to keep a law, carry each other's burdens. Pray for each other. And this verse, which is it was first in my office at the Salvation Army, now it's on my desk. Let us not become weary in doing good. For, at the proper time, there's a harvest coming because we are doing good. As we have opportunity, here's where it gets interesting. God calls you to love each other as a priority. And love others as well. But you see, when we love each other, we build each other up and we become stronger and stronger together. And love comes forward. Love blossoms. We have spare capacity in love in this church. Our third goal is actually that new people would come and join us, because we actually have spare capacity. We have love that could be given to other people to join us. So that's why we want to welcome people in, because they deserve also to be loved by God. Last comment. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. It is with you. It's all around you. It's seen partly by this expression here, that way before you were born, before your family was established, Jesus Christ died for you to give his unmerited favor. That's grace. So Paul closes a lot of his letters with, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Here's the challenge, and part of something that I didn't put in the pledge. And that is, once you learn something from the word, share it. It's not like when you learn something, it diminishes it in you when you share it with someone else. So as we've looked at here this morning, if something stands out to you and you say you've highlighted it, or if you've written in your Bible, I challenge you this week at some point, share it with someone else. In conversation, say, you know what I learned this week? That we're all free. We're free in Christ. You are free in Christ. And Paul says, but keep in mind the world around us loves to trap us. So be wise.